This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move further along in the Psalter with Psalm 65 through 67. Praise is due to you. You visit the earth. All the earth worships you. You have tested us and make your face shine. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father, have mercy and hear us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I believe in God.
Right hand of God, the Father Almighty, from thence he will come.
A reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. For our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and supremely so toward you. For we are not writing to you anything other than what you read and understand, and I hope you will fully understand, just as you did partially understand us, that on the day of our Lord Jesus you will boast of us as we will boast of you. Because I was sure of this, I wanted to come to you first, so that you might have a second experience of grace. I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia, and to come back to you from Macedonia, and have you send me on my way to Judea. Was I vacillating when I wanted to do this? Do I make my plans according to the flesh, ready to say yes, yes, and no, no at the same time? As surely as God is faithful, our word to you has not been yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus and Timothy and I, was not yes and no, but in him it is always yes. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. This is the word of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
1 and 2 Corinthians is proof that Paul is a living example of his pastoral epistles. He is not placing heavy burdens on any pastor too hard to bear, for he himself does exactly what he says. And we see this exactly how he treats this church in Corinth, a church that has been less than faithful with divisions, adultery, lawsuits, chaotic worship, and even denying the resurrection. But despite all of this, Paul still treats them with such patience, love, and self-control. And this is the example that he lays before Timothy and Titus and all pastors and how they should treat the people of God. I mean, it doesn't matter what unfaithfulness the Corinthians would show, Paul will not be impeded to bringing them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not their sins nor his weaknesses will stop him. Paul is showing us with simplicity and godly sincerity that a pastor's boast, even in weakness, is to be found solely in the promises of God. Now, these promises of God are Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is what Paul wants the Corinthians to focus in on. You never see Paul waver or lose track of this goal in sight. You never see him seek to destroy this church in his anger, which he has experience with. You never see him in laziness stop caring for this church, which would have been foreign to Paul. Now, that's not to say that Paul was not frustrated with the way things were going in this church. Paul loved the Corinthians. He wept for them. His heart was wide open for this church. So I'm sure he was frustrated. Yet he still cares for them sacrificially at his own expense. Yet you never hear him complain. But in fact, you hear him boast of this church as his letter of recommendation. And this is not because he doesn't know their unfaithfulness, their downfallings, their sins, He knows just how imperfect that this church is, yet he still loves them. He still recognizes that they are the proof of his apostleship. Paul recognizes this, that they are intricately bound one to another, he and the Corinthians. So much so that we see that their salvation is tied one to the other. As he said this morning, on the day of our Lord Jesus, you will boast of us as we will boast of you. This is the ultimate goal of Paul, is the salvation of God's people. Jesus, Paul is the apostle of Jesus Christ. He is their connection to the crucified and risen Lord. That is why you see Paul at times boast of himself. But this is not a boasting in and of himself, of his own strength and abilities, but this is him boasting of what Christ is doing through him in their midst. By his actions, by his preaching, and by his life, by the way he conducts himself. His life cannot be separated from the Corinthians' salvation, even in their weakness, even in his weakness. And in our reading this morning, we find the problem. The problem is Paul's supposed mistake. In 1 Corinthians, he promised to visit, and he broke that promise. Whether by Paul's own frustration and anger, or by Paul's godly wisdom of knowing that it wasn't the exact time that he should come, or maybe a little bit of both. But still, Paul did not come when he said that he would, but he would not let this perceived broken promise undermine the promises of Christ. Instead, as he does again and again, he points this church to the promises of Jesus Christ. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. Now, Paul's conduct to this church in Corinth should cause all Christians to ask themselves a question, but especially future pastors who seek to publicly boast of the promises of Christ. When you are under stress, under any difficulty, when things do not go exactly the way that you plan, what is it that you do? Do you point yourself back to Christ and all of his promises? Or when things get hard, when things get frustrating, do you just get angry at your schedule, at the people, at the work that is laid before you? And then do you seek like a coward some worthless corner of the internet to drown out reality? Or do you search for some junk food or video game to distance yourself and distract you from the work that's laid before you? Or in anger, do you turn to those you say you love and your wife and your children and your friends and get angry at them and rage because of the work that you have not done? If this is what you do here and now in this artificially induced stressful environment, what will you do when you are charged to care for souls? When you are the representative of Christ in a specific location, will you then begin to act as St. Paul with patience, love, and self-control? Paul refuses to let his weaknesses tear down the church in Corinth. But instead, in his love, he seeks to build them up, not for no purpose at all, but so that they would be reconciled to God, that they would have salvation. That is his ultimate goal. That is his goal and desire, and not just for his ministry in some generic or superficial sense, But that is Paul in his being, in his life. Now, St. Paul did not have the same exact problems that we do, but he was honest with himself. He was honest with this church in Corinth. So we are called to imitate Paul with simplicity and godly sincerity, because God's people will look to you. Be honest about your weaknesses, where you get angry and lazy. Be honest about your failings. Be honest where you get frustrated and you procrastinate. And turn for yourself to the promises of God found in His Word to be strengthened and renewed day after day. The promises only found in the crucified and risen Lord. The promise that is specifically applied to you in your baptism when you were anointed, when God placed His name on you and made you His own. And here is where God gave you His Spirit as a guarantee, not for anger or laziness, but for the work that is laid before you. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, to which you have received. Because Christ does not hold back His Spirit, but He gives it in abundance. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over are His promises to you. The Spirit that flows from the cross is given in abundance, and it is given to you to cling to in all of your weaknesses. There is no other option. As future pastors, you must cling to the promises of Christ if you are ever to boast of God's promises to God's people. The Holy Spirit does work through the Word and the sacrament, but how you conduct yourself in all situations will be a reflection of God to His people. So be honest about your weaknesses in repentance. Trust in the cross for forgiveness, and do the work that is laid before you with boldness and confidence, because Christ is with you. We boast of the confidence of Christ because in Him all the promises of God find their yes. And to that we say amen to the glory of God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
to you, O Lord.
In morning, my prayer comes before you.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And uphold me with the Holy Spirit.
My mouth is filled with your praise. Every day I will bless you.
And praise your name forever and ever.
By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness.
O God of our salvation, the hope of all the ends of the earth, and the far cease.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
He redeems your life from the pit. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, graciously hear the prayers of your people, that we who justly suffer the consequence of our sin may be mercifully delivered by your goodness to the glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, who puts down the mighty from their seat and exalts those of low estate, save us from pride, self-seeking, and false ambition. Give us a humble and contrite spirit, that we may think less of ourselves, more of others, and most of all, our mighty God and Savior. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I thank you, my heavenly Father,
through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For to your hands I commend myself, my body, soul, and all things. Let your holy angels be with me, and that the evil foe may have no power.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.